Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
News!
Pretty prepare, set up your tray, pop and pop wine.
Are those the lyrics to the news stager?
She's all up here.
I'm multilingual, translating into the Russian. Italian. Anyway, I'm sorry. A few days after David Cassidy's death last week, his daughter, Katie Cassidy, who is beautiful. I saw a picture.
Gotta be.
She shared his final words, and they're a little depressing. She tweeted, quote, "My father's last words were so much wasted time." God, is there anything sadder than that?
Wow.
This will be a daily reminder for me to share my gratitude with those I love as to never waste another minute. Katie plays Laurel Lance on the CW show Arrow. I'm not familiar with that show. Anyone? Anybody
no.
in the class?
Yeah, no? It's pretty good. I mean, it's one that's made for kids, really.
She's a handsome lady.
Third generation showbiz. She got to be beautiful.
It's unclear exactly what David was referring to. It could have been his early death, but it's been he'd been open about his struggles with alcohol and substance abuse in his later years, and those troubles had caused rifts in his family. You know, I'm thinking of when I've indulged too much and... those are, you know, when you really think about alcohol in particular, when you have those roaring nights where you recover for the next 1 or 2 days, those are definitely wasted days.
Of course.
You're useless. You're not good to anybody. So they're really kind of... Is there anything really better than waking up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on a Saturday morning at like a crack of dawn on a holiday weekend and you're feeling good?
Especially during pie season.
In September to September, if you're keeping score at home. Joss Hutcherson has a secret he's been holding inside for about 15 years. This is the kid that was in the Polar Express with Tom Hanks.
Oh, the little boy voice, yeah.
He's not a little boy anymore. Well, he once let one rip and farted on Tom Hanks. And he finally fessed up on the Late Late Show with James Corden.
That's awesome.
It was during the making of the 2004 holiday classic, and Josh was only 9 at the time, so, you know, we cut him a little slack on that. They were filming a scene where the kid played by Josh was skiing along the top of the train with a hobo played by Tom. Now, the Polar Express was a motion capture movie, so they actually had to be in the same positions as their characters.
Right.
At one point, they're both standing on the same pair of skis with Josh in front, and that's when he let one rip. Josh said, quote, "That was my first big movie. I was working with Robert Zemeckis and Tom Hanks, and I just farted in his face." Instead of playing it cool, Tom Hanks was like, whoa, oh my God, this kid, what the heck, oh my God. You can see Tom Hanks doing
too,
that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, next time you're watching the Polar Express and they're on the skis with the hobo, know that's what
happened. I've never seen that movie. I'll have to look at it.
I like it.
Kids like
it's kind of cool. It's kind of neat.
I liked it more than the kids, actually.
Oh, wow.
Neat looking film.
I'd like to go back and see it. I saw it when it first came out, and I'd like to go back and see it again.
It's President a great book. Trump, if you ever have a kid, get the book. The book is awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
President Trump took to Twitter on Friday to announce that Time Magazine was going to make him their Person of the Year for the second year in a row. But he wasn't interested because they were noncommittal. This is squarely falling into the category you just want to scream and go, "You're the president!"
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just in case he doesn't get it.
I don't get it. How are you? I mean, who knows? He tweeted, quote,
They said I was probably going to be named Person of the Year like last year, but I have to agree to an interview in a major photo shoot. I said probably is no good and took a pass. Thanks anyway.
Time refuted Trump's claim, tweeting, quote, "The president is incorrect about how we choose Person of the Year. Time does not comment on our choice until publication, which is December 6th. He's obsessed with the cover of Time magazine, but he's the president. You don't need to be petty like that anymore.
Remember in some of his resorts, he has a cover of Time
the
magazine.
Fake Time magazine.
You get an amusement park, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's frustrating. Here are the 6 Thanksgiving foods and how long you can keep them in the fridge before they might make you sick. Ah. Important. Turkey. 3 to 4 days, only 3 to 4 days. So even if you have it in a like a vacuum sealed, whatever, if it's cut up and stored in a shallow container, it might last a little longer. But turkey is risky, so be aware of that.
Wow.
I think you can tell because turkey stinks after a couple.
I thought turkey lasted for a good month.
Well, you can freeze it.
No. Well, you can freeze anything, right? Number 2 is homemade gravy, only a day or two.
Dang.
So it's definitely time to throw it out.
I haven't been in a Latin household.
Stuffing also.
What does that mean?
Iron stomachs.
Oh, okay.
You
see.
Keep the gravy.
We'll just keep rolling as long as it's around.
Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Oscar. Here's your gravy.
The whole notion of leftover gravy in my family is like science fiction. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist anyway. Stuffing 3 to 4 days. That surprises me. I would think that would last longer. Mashed potatoes 3 to 5 days. Rob doesn't want any more anyway. Too many potatoes this week.
Right? We had a few no-shows, and I bet we were left with about 10 and a half to 11 pounds of mashed potatoes.
Oh my God.
And that's a lot.
What do you do? Did anybody make potato pancakes the next day?
We flirted with that. We had a lot of meals that involved potatoes the next few days.
Well, it's 3 to 5 days. That's all. And the same goes for green bean casserole. Pumpkin pie, 3 to 4 days. These are all
pie
shorter
season.
Time frame. Yeah, pie season. Apple pie lasts a little longer. You can leave it out for 2 days, then put it in the fridge for another 2 days. Cranberry sauce is the big winner. It's the one Thanksgiving food that does keep for a while. The sugar acts as a preservative, so you can leave it in the fridge for up to 2 weeks and still eat it.
That is, boy. Do you have any two-week-old cranberry sauce? I'm starving.
Delish. A guy named King Kaying Major in Macomb, Mississippi, just posted an item for sale on Facebook. I don't know if you get a chance to see this. It is a slightly used coffin.
Oh.
That's right. He said it was buried for 3 years, but they, quote, just pulled it back up because we decided to go a different route.
Oh, no.
I guess that means they took the person out of it and cremated them.
Sure.
Maybe. I hope that's what it means. Anyway, he's asking $200 for the coffin.
That's a deal.
As far as we know, he hasn't had any offers yet. Hey, it is the time of year for bargains. So if you
local pickup only.
That's right.
Yeah, local pickup only. Where are you going to meet him when you have that?
Do you have something to stop this coffin?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little something, something. I love this story. A self-taught rocket engineer who claims he believes the Earth is flat.
Sure.
Plans to launch himself nearly 2,000 feet in the air on a homemade steam rocket this Saturday.
Mm.
Get some video.
Did you say a steam rocket?
A steam rocket.
Just
That's
wanted
what
to
the
be
story
clear.
Says.
Yeah, okay.
Mad Mike Hughes is a 61-year-old limo driver. He told the Associated Press that he'll be lifting off over the California ghost town of Amboy. Why do I think that's somewhere in Northern California?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He'll be traveling about 500 miles per hour. He'll be traveling about a mile, and he will reach an altitude of 1,800 feet, and then he will exit the steam rocket via parachute. And would you like to hear the quotes from this guy?
I'd love it.
I don't believe in science, said Hughes. I know about aerodynamics and fluid dynamics and how things move through the air about the certain size of rocket nozzles and thrust and whatnot. But that's not science. That's just a formula. There's no difference between science and science fiction. Yeah! He then continued to eat his delicious chocolate pie, which coincidentally was 1 mile wide.
Yes.
He'll be landing on that. There you go. I don't believe in science.
Season.
Earth is flat. I don't care what they say. I'm an American.
Steam.
We'll take a break. Steam. Steam rocket. Steam rocket.
TMOS.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack and hydration sponsor. This is cool. They've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on two special edition products, a salted caramel chip protein bar and a yuzu mango hydration mix. Guess what? They are out of this world. This collaboration grew out of Chef Keller's daily regimen of IQBar products and combines IQBar's nutritional excellence with Keller's culinary expertise. IQBar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. The salted caramel chip IQBar has 12 grams of protein and only 1 gram of sugar, plus brain-boosting nutrients like lion's mane adaptogen. They taste great, but I love them because they make me feel good. And right now, IQBar is offering our listeners 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. Text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. There's nothing better than finding a great cigar at an even better price. And that's why I love Thompson Cigar. They've been around since 1915, so they know a thing or two about cigars. Whether it's a quick five-pack for the weekend or joining one of their value clubs, Thompson makes it easy to save while enjoying top-notch cigars. Thompson also has one of the largest humidors in America, so they guarantee fresh cigars shipped right to your door every time. Thompson's knowledgeable team is available to help you find the perfect cigar, and their expert curated and customer curated clubs make discovering new cigars fun and affordable. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee, Thompson ensures you'll enjoy every cigar you order. Light 'em up! Visit ThompsonCigar.com today and explore their incredible selection of cigars and unbeatable deals. Enjoy up to 20% off orders of $75 or more. That's ThompsonCigar.com and use code TMOS at checkout. Discover why Thompson has been America's humidor since 1915. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who trust Thompson for quality, value, and exceptional service. Some exclusions apply.
Visit ThompsonCigar.com/TMOS or use the code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your order of $75 or more.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Classic.
Jimmy Kimmel is taking off this week, and rather than have Jimmy Kimmel live on air with a bunch of repeats, he's having a celebrity guest host take his seat each night. Shaq hosted last night. He talked to Mila Kunis and Aisha Tyler. The musical guests were Ty Dolla and I don't need the list. Sorry. Tonight it's Dave Grohl.
Hey, a little love for Ty Dolla, please.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Channing Tatum hosts tomorrow night. Thursday, Jennifer Lawrence. Jimmy was planning to take the week off so his son Billy could have a second heart surgery. I wish him the very best with that. But the family ended up battling colds, so they postponed it. They're still taking the week off. Obviously, Jimmy will be back next week, and we wish them
I like that idea.
I do, too.
Right? It's that's what Carson used to do. You have celebrity
absolutely. Hosts. Yeah. Carson was known for it, to get like Joan Rivers and Don Rickles. All those people in there. A survey asked people about different Halloween costumes and what they think each one says about the person who's wearing it. Here are 6 costumes and what people think they say about you.
All right.
A superhero. 42% think it means you're athletic.
Really?
Oh.
A pop culture inspired costume, like Oscar wore.
Yeah.
44% of people say you're probably a really good time. 23% of people said a scary costume, like a zombie or a mummy, is also a sign that you're a partier. Number three, I used to, I'm waiting to see where their drag is included in this. Number three, a historical figure.
This is only for
figure,
dressing up for Halloween, though, Mike.
For Halloween. A historical figure, 24% of people say it means you're a bookworm. Four, if you made your costume yourself, 20% of people think it means you're the therapist type who listens to their friends' problems. Number five, if you're wearing a political costume, 61% of people say it's a sign that you're a big sports fan.
Really?
I don't understand this. And number six, if you're dressing as a cop, firefighter, doctor, or nurse, 19% of people think you're probably the serious one in your group of friends. That makes no sense to me. No. I've seen some cops
with material that didn't look like it would fill a uniform for a little kid.
Sexy cop. Yeah. I watched the Saturday Night Live after the horrible David S. Pumpkin special. They did a 1 hour retrospective of some old Halloween sketches, and it still makes me laugh to see Barack Obama wearing a Barack Obama mask. When he took it off, that was worth the entire hour right there. I thought that was great.
A new survey asked more than 9,000 people to name their biggest fears, and fear of clowns didn't even make the top 10. Here's what did. Number 10, galeophobia. You know what that is?
No.
Fear of sharks.
Really?
Galeophobia?
Yeah, this is easy for Rob, probably. Entomophobia.
Entomophobia is a fear of donuts, isn't it? Entenmann's Donuts?
Fear of insects.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Entomologists, yeah.
Trianophobia.
Fear of the number 13?
Nope, fear of needles.
Needles, I see.
Ophidiophobia.
Ophidia. Is that spiders?
Fear of snakes.
Snakes, okay.
Glossophobia.
Fear of 8x10 photographs.
No. Fear of public speaking.
Oh, okay.
I have that.
Necrophobia.
Fear of dying.
Oh, that's yeah. It.
Thalassophobia.
Flaccid penis. Fear of that.
My penis. Fear of what's in my pants.
Fear of deep water. Claustrophobia. Fear of small spaces.
Small spaces.
Acrophobia. That's
fear of
easy.
Heights.
Fear of heights. And arachnophobia. Come on.
Spiders.
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 There you are.
Fear of John Goodman movies.
Yes. Now, a little something something, ladies and gentlemen. A guy in... Oh, let me do that.
Yeah, you didn't do your thing.
A guy in Marlboro, Vermont woke up around 3:30 a.m. Sunday and heard some noises in his spare bedroom. When he went to check on it, he found it was straight out of a nightmare. A random clown had broken into his house and was asleep in the bed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The guy called 911, and the cops came and arrested the clown, who turned out to be 43-year-old Sean Barber. Sean Barber! He also happened to have cocaine on him, so he was arrested for unlawful trespassing and coke possession. The crime will henceforth be known as getting spiewhacked. There you go.
I'm called a hell of fire, and I
we will take
you
a break. Bye.
The hardest thing for that clown was getting the cocaine up the red nose.
All right, here we go. Traditional day before Thanksgiving story about the most expensive Thanksgiving dinner. Here it is. The Old Homestead Steakhouse in New York City.
New York City!
Serving the world's most expensive Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow night. $181,000.
Aye.
You'd like to know what you get for the price?
Please.
Two gold-painted, gold-dusted, and gold-flaked free-range turkeys. A $1,200-a-pound Spanish bacon slab on top of candied sweet potatoes. $300-a-pound white cheddar cheese from the UK. Gravy infused with a $3,650 bottle of Louis XIII cognac. Ooh. Cranberry sauce featuring $250 per dozen Japanese strawberries, a seafood stuffing made with lobster, and $1,600 per ounce caviar, asparagus seasoned with $91 per ounce Korean salt, potatoes made with $850 a pound European cheese, $150 an ounce French butter, and $1,000 per ounce truffles. Lots of expensive wines and champagnes, and a $50,000 7-day yacht cruise afterwards, plus a $20,000 Black Friday shopping spree and four tickets to the Super Bowl.
That's terrific.
I really
and you know what's great?
Chokes at that dinner.
What's great is when you get on that yacht, you can your brains out.
That'll be completely free.
That's no charge.
And now a little something, something. There's a 27-year-old guy named Jason Savage from Middlesex County, New Jersey, and he worked at an HR company called Trinet. And earlier this year, he found a hidden camera on a urinal in the bathroom. Now, his boss is a guy named David Swerdloff, and he heard Jason talking about it. So this is what Swerdloff did. He runs into the bathroom, grabs the device, and he heads straight to his car so he could take the camera to the cops.
Right. Ooh.
That's what he
said. That's what you do.
A few minutes later, David Swerdloff calls his employees to tell them he, quote, accidentally smashed the camera and, quote, he was in a state of panic when he threw it off an overpass.
What?
Oh, no.
What's going on? Swerdloff was fired after an HR investigation of the urinal cam. And since then, Jason, the guy that discovered it, says that Trinet has been trying to dig up dirt on him to punish him, too. Interesting.
Huh.
So he just sued Trinet. He wants a jury to decide on the damages. But after all that's gone on, Trinet will be changing the company name to Penis. That's it. That's what I was looking forward to all day. I can't
help myself.
That's it. Yeah.
Worth the ride in.
The password is Penis.
Trinet is now Penis.
Penis.
The human resources company for a new generation.
Look for them on the New York Stock Exchange. PNS.
PNS.
TMOS Classic.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Men's socks and underwear, essentially the same for 50 years.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you that I have been a sock guy at Mack Weldon, and I am now a boxer brief guy due to my my frequent walking that I've been doing recently.
Nice. Very nice.
And I love Mack Weldon, and they've come up with another amazing innovation. Last year, they gave you commando underwear. This year, it even got more groundbreaking. Presenting. Presenting, ladies and gentlemen. Give me that timpani.
Do it.
Presenting the all-new Mack Weldon downloadable socks.
Wow.
Imagine a brand new pair of socks every day, no washing. Just left-click on the sock icon and you're all set. Available in color or black and white, depending on your printer. That's funny, Rob. It's a custom fit every time because you print the socks. Whether the whether your Windows or Mac, these socks rock. Just make sure you print in landscape mode. Watch out for paper cuts. And remember, if they get wet, they're ruined. Best of all, they're free. Available April 1st only. Print more, save more. Remember that name. M.A.C. Did you give me a fake spot?
Mack Weldon sent you an April Fool's Day spot.
M.A.C.K.W.E.L.D.O.N.com. And I read the whole damn thing and only got it at the end. Caution, extremely flammable. I'm a pro. Thank you, boys.
So
that's what you were talking about at the beginning, and you got all quiet, you bastards. I'm throwing that. And then Rob and I had the big, long discussion about printing that up.
No, no, don't print that new one up.
Got to be the new one. It's only good today.
Thank you, and S.A.D., Mack Weldon. That's what I have to say to you, S.A.D.
Print your socks.
Fantastic. I love that. Printable socks. Oh, fantastic.
God. When Bill called me with that yesterday, yeah. I said, that's fantastic.
I love
Mike,
that.
You know what? You forgot. Shame on you.
What?
You forgot what today is.
April means Stephen Sondheim.
Welcome to the
that's
theater.
Right.
To the magic. To the fun.
It's Sondheim on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, today we go back to 1962, and a show that was not doing well in previews until they wrote this opening number, and it became a Broadway classic, Zero Mostel.
Oh, let's listen.
Forum.
Something familiar, something peculiar.
Hi, Oscar.
Something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something appealing, something appalling. Something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Nothing with King
Zero.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, that's, you know what I didn't know about it? What I didn't know about it is that the book, the dialogue in A Funny Thing Happened Away of the Forum, co-written by Larry Gelbart, who would go on to create MASH.
Yeah, so a lot of brilliant writers with that.
Really a good show.
Mike, with that show. And yes,
do you know when Rob's really into something?
Yes.
Really, really into his tell?
Yes,
is when
absolutely.
He has Dude Walker do the voice
I know. And he asks
nothing
Dude
else.
To do another. How much did you pay Dude for that?
Oh, you know what? We have a standing deal, and you know that. But you know what? What I was shocked you didn't mention is that in the middle of the Dude element was the great Lauren Bacall. Listen.
April. Stephen Sondheim.
Welcome to the theater, to the magic, to the fun.
It's Sondheim on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh,
will we get another?
Yeah.
Will we get another tomorrow?
Every day.
He's going to do it every day.
Every day.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
It's actually fun.
So there is a segment, and I mean a small segment, but there is a segment of our audience. I think Rob's going to get rave reviews.
Hi, bro.
I hope that I bring you a factoid every day. That is my hope. As
oh, my God. Yeah. Go
factoid. As your sommelier of Sondheim.
Go for it, boy.
Mike, do you know that it has been 27 years since you pulled... A lot of people mentioned on Facebook this week, Tats for Tots, the April Fool's book that we did where we pretended to give the kid a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been 27 years since you did my favorite April Fool's joke. I just want to play a moment of this because I do love it.
Listen, folks, I thought we ought to explain what's going down here. It's April Fool's Day. The fact is that Don and Mike are on thin ice. Alan Goodman called and said, listen, they've alienated everybody. They have made enemies of everybody. They are idiots. They are immature. We need a grown, mature adult. Someone that can bring the proper approach to Power 105. And that's why I'm here. And with that, I say good morning on wonderful WAVA. This grown, mature adult.
George Michael.
So great.
Popped in for Don and myself on April Fool's.
I love George
did our
Michael.
Morning show, and it was so special, and George was so into it because George was a DJ back at WABC, another great station. So to have him come in and do that, and he was just
a lot of fun.
One in a million. One of those old, back when local news fostered strong, vibrant, incredible personalities, and it wasn't the terrorized land of safe that it is now with the male models. It really was a different era.
National
magical moments between him and Jim Vance, and I remember high school.
We had great ones. We had George Michael and Glenn Brenner.
Oh my God!
On two different stations back in the day in Washington D.C., and they're both unfortunately gone. And I think that sucks. That really, really does. We had great sportscasters, and they were fun to watch. George was more, you know, straight ahead, but had a real big personality. And Glenn Brenner, you would watch Glenn Brenner, not for sports, you'd watch Glenn Brenner for Glenn Brenner. And I wish we had that in local TV news. It's gone.
It's gone
because everybody is over-consulted, and it's the land of
vanilla,
safe.
Vanilla.
I don't think we'll ever get it back.
And here's the thing, okay? And then I just wanted to, we should have talked about this totally, but, and then Comedy Central decides to rush to replace Jon Stewart, and they step on their D's by bringing the pretty young boy in, who is an ass. And I don't know how they're going to punch their way out of this one, but...
Oh, not every joke can be funny.
But, I mean, how about... What happened to paying your dues? What happened really coming up through the ranks?
The only thing that I foster a little bit of hope is that if Jon Stewart stands behind this guy, and apparently he does...
Jon Stewart's
there must be
company guy.
Hopefully.
And he owns a part of the show.
Yeah, he does.
He needs it to succeed.
Yeah.
And those checks come in every week.
All right.
I don't understand the hire, because, I mean, all I've seen of this guy is the one time I watched the episode live when this guy came on, and I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, where's
the
funny?
Well, we won't find out until he comes on.
I'm sick and tired of people giving the president a hard time about the way he talks.
Okay.
Oh, you know, there's that anonymous op-ed piece that published in the New York Times. He talked about it yesterday, and he refers to the fact that it's anonymous.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an anonymous, gutless coward.
Now, a lot of people think he's...
Well, play that again, please.
All right. He's really not mispronouncing anonymous.
No, stop for the whole thing. Remember when he did the United States?
Yeah, God bless the United States. Here he is with anonymous.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an ominous...
For sake of comparison, Mike.
God bless the United States.
But I don't think there's a problem here, because what he's doing, he's not trying to say anonymous. He's actually saying that he supports... He's a big fan of The Muppet Show. You see, here's what happened.
Anonymous.
See, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine.
These are interesting times. Yeah, look, I'll never forget this.
I heard Chuck Todd this morning on WTOP, our local news station here in the D.C. area.
I'd love to get Chuck back on this show. That would be so much fun.
He said... And I'm sure you covered this on Political Persuasions, that you, for the first time in history, have, regardless on whose camp you're in, have the people on the inside essentially laying down what could be possibly a soft coup from the inside out. Uh-huh. And you have the people on the outside saying, what is happening?
Yeah, it's creepy.
There's a great article in Esquire. I didn't put this on my page because we're just inundated with it. I mean, I'm really, this is me talking. As someone who likes to occasionally get political on my Facebook page, there is a great article, an editorial in Esquire about this guy that wrote the op-ed. And it's kind of saying, F you. Just step off. You know, what did you think you were getting? And come out and you know, and what he believes is that the person that wrote this op-ed is just trying to do, it's a full CYA, so that they can come out after the fact.
Oh, because, they said, I told everybody.
Yeah, because this administration is ultimately the perception inside, I'm sure a lot of them, is going to go off the rails, that this person is kind of covering their own ass. There's a lot of speculation.
Oh, I never thought
50,
about
50.
That.
That's
like, well, save myself now by writing this.
No one's come out and said brave about this op-ed.
Oh, no.
Nobody's said that.
This is the equivalent of writing yourself a letter and mailing it to yourself so you can open it later and prove something.
And there, you know, there.
True.
Make no mistake, we talk about it on Political Persuasions. There are three or four people within the organization at the New York Times that know who this is. So this person they let the people at the Times know. You just can't write this and send it to the Times
without knowing who it is.
He was completely vetted. Yeah. It's a strange world, man.
All right.
Very, very strange.
Welcome back to the NFL. Big game last night, Philadelphia and Atlanta. One of the thumbs up, the national anthem. Did you hear it? Boys to men.
Didn't watch the game.
Listen to just a taste of this harmony. This is great. I like the fact that they're still boys to men, even though they're all about 70 now. But the harmony is still there. I loved it.
Great.
Now, question, while we have boys to men in the background, let's say you're a football team with a great fan base and you reach the pinnacle. You're Super Bowl champions, football champions of the world. How long does that keep you in good graces with your fan base?
I imagine at least a year.
No, the answer is two quarters of football, because Philly actually booed the Eagles going into halftime last night.
Halftime score is 6-3. You watch. Well, the boo birds are out. Love is a fleeting thing.
I was so conflicted last night when one of my favorite things is with one of my least favorite things. But Paul McCartney was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon talking about his new album, Egypt Station, out yesterday. Great album. Now, what happened is Jimmy Fallon showed him one of his records from when Jimmy Fallon was growing up. And he had written a fan letter to Paul McCartney, but used the album as like a desk.
Oh, wow.
So you could see the imprint of the letter in the album.
Wow.
And when they showed it, you could see Jimmy Fallon's boyhood phone number. And so they called Jimmy Fallon's boyhood phone number, and this is how it went down. Paul McCartney, 70-something years old now, still a great sense of humor.
The TextNow subscriber you are trying to reach is not available. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney here. I'm looking for Jimmy Fallon. If you see him, tell him to give me a call, will you? Thank you.
Can you imagine getting that voicemail? That would be so great. Anyway. Here's a comedy bit that works, Mike. Jimmy Kimmel last night, you know, I love when they go out and do the man on the street stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a new game that they're playing on the street. People aren't seeming to get the rules. They're pretty easy.
Excuse me. Don't talk into this mic and win $10.
Yeah, sure. Why not? What do you want to do?
Don't talk into this mic and win $10. Do you understand? You got the rules of the game?
Well, just from what you described.
So close, I'm sorry. Don't talk into this mic and win $10.
What?
Excuse me. Don't talk into this mic and win $10. Do you want to play?
No, I gotta go.
Sorry, you just lost. So close. Don't talk into this mic and win $10.
Sorry, what? Talking to the mic.
Oh, sorry, you just lost. If you don't talk into the mic, you win $10. Do you want to try again?
Again, yeah.
Are you ready?
Oh,
you just lost again.
Nobody won, duh.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.